If you have your Bible this morning, then would you join me? I want to ask you to turn to the book of Psalms right in the middle of your Bible there. Psalms, the 128th Psalm. Psalms 128. And again, on the back of your bulletin, a place to write down any scripture references or notes you may want to take with you. Those of you joining online certainly want you to join in as well. Psalms 128. I'll read a couple of verses here, Lord willing, that are not, I won't ask you to turn to for sake of time, but we can place them on the screen. So that's why I said if you want to write them down. So, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to open our hearts right now. Help us to see that you're the Father of all. Draw us to yourself. Draw us into your family if that's the need. Draw us into a closer walk with you. For your will and glory, Lord, help us to be sons and daughters who are about the will of our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your Bible and join me as we make this confession together? The words are on the screen. We invite you to join us as we make this confession here together. Some of you probably wouldn't need it, but we usually put them up in case you do. So let's make our confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I read this 128th Psalm, let me go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I'll just read those first four verses, kind of like our theme for last week and today. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. That's to the children, and then to specifically to fathers, indirectly to mothers as well. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This morning, I just want to share a second and concluding part from those words where we began last week. Bring them up in the Lord. Bring them up in the Lord based on the scripture there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Last week, we looked at two practical ways of how, you know, the scripture gives us guidance on how we're to bring up our sons and daughters in the Lord. And I said last week, too, the word, that phrase bring up can actually mean to nourish or feed. And in a sense, we can all bring up someone else in his or her walk with the Lord. Like I told you last week, receiving that little text from Pastor David in Africa, how it, you know, it can be a blessing. So we can apply this maybe in different ways. So bring them up in the Lord. Would you say that with me? Bring them up in the Lord. And then Psalms 128. And last week I said this too, because going back to the account of Genesis, God created male and female because he wants children to be raised and brought up within the loving commitment of a mom and dad. And I know that many of us are either in or from broken families. That's no put down at all. If you know me at all, you know that's not my heart. And it's certainly not God's heart. He knows and cares about every one of us as individuals, about our families. And God just wants us to trust him and do his word. So we'll trust him, do his word, we'll pray, and then we trust him with the results. We can't, even our sons and daughters, we can't force them to believe, we can't force them to follow Jesus, but we can sure pray for them, and we can do everything that we can to lovingly point them to the Savior to follow his way as well. I said last week that that loving commitment gives children a sense of security and peace, and it promotes an atmosphere that, it's an atmosphere that I would say promotes learning and growth. It's like good ground. And when I was thinking about the ground, I thought about this psalm here, Psalms 128, beginning in verse 1, we read these words, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord." That means has a proper reverence for God, has an awe of God. We don't just, you know, kind of blow him off, take him lightly or anything like that. But blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. This psalm is actually a song. Some of your Bibles may have a little note up on the top where it says a song of ascents. What that means is that as the Jewish people went to Jerusalem three times a year, all the males were required to go to Jerusalem to keep three of the holidays, and they were called pilgrim festivals, but they would sing these psalms. Everyone that's labeled, is 15 of them, I believe, psalms of ascent, they would sing them as they're going up to Jerusalem. So they're actually singing these songs, like this one, and they're going up to Jerusalem for the festival, and this song actually speaks, it's the words are blessings over the families and the people of God as both individual family and as a community of faith. And so in that sense, this was not only for Israel, but it was for all of God's people that we can have the right attitude of reverence toward God and walk in his ways and experience a degree of blessing that we would not experience being out of God's will. So to walk in the full blessings of the Lord, and the first step, I got to mention that. If you want to walk with the Lord, you got to start with believing. That's the first step. The first step is to recognize our need that I have sinned. Sin is in my heart. It separates me from a holy God, and I can't bridge the gap. But he loved me enough to send his son to bridge the gap for me with a cross. And Jesus suffered and died to pay for my sins. He rose again 3 days later, conquering death, the devil, and the grave, and sin, and everyone, it doesn't matter how young or old, rich or poor, light or dark, everyone who with their heart believes and confesses Jesus as Lord is born again, forgiven, indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and has a home in heaven awaiting for them. Thank God for the promises of God. And so now to walk in that way, so he goes on in verse 2 and says this, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. There will be a degree of blessedness, is what that word means, and it shall be well with you. That sounds like what we read in Ephesians 6, doesn't it? That you honor your parents, it'll be well with you. So we can honor our Heavenly Father today, can't we, as well? So he says in verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Let me pause there a second. That's what I was saying about that environment in our home. A loving environment is like good ground for those little olive plants to grow up in, all right? Our children all around our table. They used to eat together. We don't do that too much anymore. But it is a blessing if you can. So it says they're like olive plants all around your table. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. Now is coming to all of the people, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children, your grandchildren. Peace be upon Israel. Do you see how it's not just for one person or even one family? It's for the people of God. So there is a blessing. Bring them up in the Lord. I pray that for you. If you have children, sons or daughters, I pray that you'll live long enough to see them and see your grandchildren and enjoy them. And you would just be a godly influence and a blessing to them. So again, wherever you can receive this, I pray that you will receive it today. Now, let me close just with today's message to the second part, rather, of last week's. Last week's, live God's word and give God's word. And then today, I'll just go ahead and mention these two, and we'll take a moment to look at each one. But here's the first one. To lovingly... That's so important. Correct them, lovingly correct them, because that's you'll see how God does to us, and then also lovingly bless them. So bring them up in the Lord, lovingly correct them, and then lovingly bless them. Would you say that with me? Lovingly correct them, lovingly bless them. So those two very practical ways of how we bring them up in the Lord. And I'll show you before we're done how Jesus related to children, even though he didn't have any biological children. So we'll see his example as well. Would you turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, and just hold your spot there a moment? Genesis chapter 3. And let me give you the reference for this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. Lovingly correct them. This verse, Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loves, not whom he can't stand, whom he's angry with, for whom the Lord loves, he, notice it doesn't say punishes. He corrects. There's a difference, or it can be certainly. Just as a father, the son in whom he loves and delights. Do you see his heart right off the bat? That it's not like just angry, the son he can't stand. No. It's whom he delights and he loves. And out of his love for us, then he corrects. I want to try to make a distinction between the, like saying punish and correct. And I know people may say it and we might mean the same thing. I like to use the word correct because it's scriptural for one. And second, it's possible to punish a child but still not correct the wrong attitude or behavior. And so it's lovingly, just like the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. So it's loving correction, and our motive must be love. Our motive, you know, we can't correct out of anger, out of frustration, maybe out of embarrassment. You know, they did something to embarrass, and we kind of, you know, react in a wrong or a strong way. No, our motive must be love. We must have their best interests in mind. So that scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. One translation says, don't stir up anger in your children. And we can stir up anger in our sons and daughters by being harsh. We can stir up anger by placing unrealistic demands on them. Maybe, you know, we're expecting them to maybe perform at a certain level, and they're only toddlers. And, you know, so we don't want to do that. You know, another way we can stir up anger is by comparing them in an unkind or unfavorable way. So I want to encourage you, please try not to do that. You know, why can't you be more like little Susie or Johnny? Because that takes away the incentive to even try. So that's not what God does to us. The Bible says he shows no favoritism. He loves us. When he corrects us, he wants us to take comfort. The Bible says in the New Testament that if, as a Christian, we can sin and not receive correction, we need to check our walk with the Lord, because whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And again, he doesn't, whom the Lord loves, he's not harsh. He's a good father, a gentle father, and he corrects us in ways that help us grow in Christ-likeness. That's the goal. So he corrects us lovingly. He delights in us, and that's why he corrects us. Again, he does it with our best interests in mind. Now, let me read you this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 11, because I believe the main way that we correct is with our words. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, Adam and Eve had sinned. And God says in verse 11, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you should not eat? I mean, have you ever done that? You ever, parents said, did you do that? And you know they did, probably. And you ask, but you know, God did that. He did the same thing with Cain. Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? He did the same thing with Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? Yes, it's right, to the point of death. He was his pouting prophet, but he went to him tenderly. Is it right for you? Why are you angry? And maybe when they do wrong, ask them what they did. It gives them, first of all, it gives us a chance to see if they understand. And second, it gives them opportunity to confess if there is a need for that. You say, well, what if they don't listen? Well, let me also say this. It's not just our words that can correct. We can use God's word in a right way to correct. Let me just tell you this reference, okay? 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally says is breathed out by God. His word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God will use his word to correct us. Any of you ever been corrected by God's word? I sure have. I mean, if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you probably have. So God's word will correct us. If that doesn't work and they continue to do something wrong, then sure, you might have to give them a consequence like a timeout or, restriction or loss of a privilege. Say, what about and I'll use the phrase physical correction. You know, the parents have to decide that, but I would say this, please make that a last resort and make it rare, and here is the real key, make it restrained. There has to be restraint. It's not hauling off and, you know, doing something out of anger or frustration, like I said, but again, it's lovingly correct for their benefit and their welfare, because we love them and we want what's best for them, all right? Then we got to be patient. How many others could say, I'm so thankful my Heavenly Father is patient with me? So to be patient with them and to be consistent, we got to be consistent, right? We can't just say we're going to do it and then 1 week and then 15 years we don't. So we've got to be consistent. And then I would even say this, and I remember doing this on maybe one or two occasions when I was wrong, to go to Brittany and ask her to forgive me, to, you know, be humble enough to ask for forgiveness when we do something wrong, because none of us have arrived, have we? And I believe that can even be a godly influence to them. So bring them up in the Lord. Lovingly correct them, lovingly bless them. Would you say that with me? Lovingly correct them, lovingly bless them. Now would you turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll look at this. Lovingly bless them. Lovingly bless them. And I'll just tell you before I read the scripture how we bless. We bless with our words and we bless with our touch. Scripturally, we bless with our words and we bless with our touch. And that's why I said this is something, you know, this is an area where we're parent or not, doesn't matter. We can be a blessing to others, and we are, to bless others for the Lord and for His glory. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, we read these words. So God created man, or mankind, in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. We both bear the value, the blessing, and design of God, male and female. And then the first act that we read about, after He created Adam and Eve, verse 28 says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. See how the very first act recorded in Scripture after Adam and Eve were created by God, He blessed them by speaking words of blessing to them. He spoke life-giving words. Be fruitful and multiply, have dominion. And that's, we can speak life-giving words to others. We can certainly speak it to our sons and daughters, grandchildren, but we can speak it to anyone that we're willing to speak life-giving words to. Proverbs says their death and life are in the power of the tongue, which is our word. So we speak life-giving words and seek to build them up and to encourage them. We sang a song a moment ago, yes and amen. Claim the promises of God in Christ. And that was very important, because not every promise in the Bible was written to us today, but the ones in Christ are, every one of them. If your son or daughter, maybe they're not a Christian yet, and maybe they're kind of going their own way right now, it is God's will for them to be saved. It's God's will to be for them to be forgiven, to be brought into the family of God and have a close walk with their Father in heaven. So we can pray those, we can claim those promises in their behalf. So speak life-giving words, claim the promises of God over them. You know, I can't say I looked at every letter, but almost every letter, so I'll say it that way, almost every book in the New Testament both begins and ends with words of blessing, because that's what God does to us. Man, He's a good Father. He lovingly corrects and He lovingly blesses. So He gives us His word and blessing, and many of the blessings are like this. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Be multiplied to you. Can I ask you a favor? Would you turn to someone around you there and tell them grace and peace to you? Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace. Those of you online, grace and peace to you. So pray for your children. Or when I say children, I mean at any age. I was with Brittany, had a little Father's Day time with her this week. I left yesterday. And I thank God I had an opportunity to pray with her before I left. And so pray with them, but then pray for them. Amen. Let them hear you. And I want to say this about that. Let them hear you pray for them, but please don't pray against them. Like I was mad at Brittany about something, and I were praying, and I'd say, Lord, change her attitude. How well you think that prayer is going to go over? Right? Probably not very far, right? And kind of kill the desired effect. So to pray for them, not against them, and to claim the promises, God, remember, we do it all because we love them and we want to encourage them. And in fact, I would even say that, you know, I came along, my dad was, some of the men, you know, in his, I would say, generation, they weren't just overly affectionate or saying, I love you a lot or anything. I know he did. And I can look back on it and I see those expressions more now than I did when I was living at home. And my dad never mentioned his dad. His sister, my aunt, told me more about my grandfather on his side. He was kind of a rough man. At times, you know, he would drink and you know, be fighting and so forth. One time my dad mentioned his father to me, and all he said was this. He was talking about put downs, and he just said, that's all I ever heard from my dad. And so my dad didn't do a lot of putting me down, but he just didn't do a whole lot of the hugging and saying I love you or whatever. And I guess at the time, it probably wasn't considered something that men would do. You know, we would maybe hide that type of our emotion. But it's good to do that. It's manly, even, I'll say it that way, to hug them and tell them you love them. Don't just let them think you read your mind. Tell them you love them. And then encourage them to do what's right. See, it's not just, you know, correction is, this is how to do it the right way. But then to encourage them with the incentive, let's look for good. Don't just look for bad. Look for something they do good. And then when they do, praise them over it. So I think that blessed me. That encouraged me. Doesn't that give us incentive when we hear someone say that to us? Like, you did something right, and I want you to keep doing it. So encourage them to speak words of blessing in that way. And just to again, speak life-giving words to them. And then I said words and then touch. Would you turn to Genesis 31? Genesis chapter 31, and here is a man, a father, who is getting ready to leave from his sons and daughters and the family members there, the grandchildren. Genesis chapter 31. So lovingly correct them, lovingly bless them with our words, and then to bless them with our touch. This is what the Bible says in Genesis 31, verse 55. Genesis 31, 55, the Bible says, and early in the morning, Laban, he's the father, arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. So I just want to encourage you, if you have a son or daughter, grandkids, hug them. Hug them. And, you know, they might be certain places. You know, if you're dropping them off at school and they're 17, they might not want to get hugged right there in front of everybody. I don't know. They may eat it up and just pretend they don't. But I know we all want that. So hug them and encourage them. And when they're hurting, comfort them. Amen. That's so, you know, God, Jesus said, he called the Holy Spirit the helper in some translations, but also the comforter. When we hurt as his sons and daughters, he wants to comfort us. And I don't care how old or young they are, if they're hurting, we can try to comfort them and to bless them and hug them if you're physically able. Many of us are separated by distance and we can't, but if you can, you can still, if you can, hug them and love them. And if not, we can bless them with our words, our prayers, our encouragement, and so forth. And I think it's even important as parents, we can check out their interest. Brittany is, you know, was interested in some, you know, maybe some groups like Jonas Brothers or whatever, you know, coming along, maybe some TV shows like some of the Disney, I don't even remember them all now, but I probably wouldn't have watched that on my own. I probably wouldn't have watched Barney or The Big Red Dog or Wishbone or whatever, but actually some of them are good. I liked Wishbone. I thought that was real. Any of y'all remember that dog? So watching some of those, so check out their interests. And be involved with them. And I already say this, have fun with them. There's something about having fun together that will open our hearts and open our spirits. Then we can be that godly influence to them. And it helps to keep the lines of communication open regardless of their age. So to invest in them, that's the way I like to think of it. We're investing in a life for eternity. And so to speak words of blessing, to hug them. And then I want to close with this scripture in our Mark chapter 10. Would you join me there? last scripture, Mark chapter 10. It's the second book of the New Testament. I want to, for you to be able to see how Jesus demonstrated God the Father's heart toward children when he walked here on the earth. Even as you're turning, God is a healer of the broken heart. And God is a healer of broken relationships. Let's not give up. Let's keep praying. Let's keep doing our part and keep claiming God's promises. Bring them up in the training of the Lord, training and admonition. We train armies to be their best. Artists train to be their best at whatever their field is. Athletes, I remember hearing, I like the Colts, and at one point Tony Dungy was their coach. And I remember hearing an interview I saw with him when he first started coaching. He coached for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He actually played for them earlier. And he asked Coach Noll, he said, "What is my job?" And here's what the coach said. "Your job is to make your players play better." That was training. See, training involves instructing. Training involves correcting. Training involves preparing. And so teams train to be their best. We want to train our sons and daughters with the hope, with the desire, and the prayer that they would be their best for the one who loved them and gave himself for them. Amen. So that they could be their best for the Lord. Here in Mark chapter 10, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 13, Mark 10, 13. "Then they brought little children to him," that's him is Jesus, "they brought little children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them." So now what's Jesus going to do? Verse 14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased." Would you say greatly? "He was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" In another place, Jesus said, if we don't humble ourselves as a little child, we won't even enter his kingdom, because we have to be humble enough first to acknowledge, I'm not right with God, I need to be forgiven. So he goes on and he says this then in verse 15, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And then notice verse 16, "Jesus took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them," and what? "And he blessed them." Do you see what I'm saying? That parent or not, we can be a blessing. We can be a godly influence to someone around, to a child even, or to children in our lives if we're willing. And so I just want to encourage us all at whatever, you know, whatever your status may be. Maybe you have little children. Maybe you have grandchildren. You can just seek to be that godly influence. But we can all be a blessing. And to with our words, and depending on the nature of the relationship, I'm not going to go up to someone's children I've never met, pick them up or whatever. But I can be a blessing. I can speak a word of blessing to encourage a child out in public somewhere. But those that are in our family, even here in the church, I see, you know, children, some of them come up, they want to give you a little side hug. That's a blessing. That's a form of blessing. That's bringing them up in the Lord. The parents have the main responsibility, but as the family of God, we can encourage and bless and partner together. Lovingly correct them and lovingly bless them. Let me close with this. I do want to say, I think this is important, that we can agree in prayer for God's will in their lives. If both parents are Christians, I would encourage you to pray together for God's will in their life. If not, pray with, you can find someone, a brother or sister, to pray with you and agree. If you're a sister in the Lord, you have a son or daughter you want to pray for, find another sister that you can agree with, or a brother if you're a man, and to claim the promise of God for their lives. I would just say this again, God knows every one of us. He knows you. He knows your family situation. He loves you and cares for you. And please don't feel like God is angry at you because you've messed up or whatever your family situation is. No, I would just encourage you, ask the Lord for wisdom and how to reach that maybe a son or daughter, maybe a parent, maybe to bring healing in a relationship. Invite God into that situation and just keep praying, keep seeking. If the Lord prompts you to, maybe in some cases, send a note, send a card, a text, or call, or whatever it may be, that God can heal. He's a Father who leads the way for us. He loves us. He gave us His Word. He lovingly corrects us, and He lovingly blesses us. And this morning, I want to just ask you today, how close are you to your Father in heaven? Because He wants you close. He loves you, and He will receive you. You say, I've gotten away. I've done some things. Come on home. Come back. His heart is open. His arms are open. He will restore you if you just simply come. He'll forgive you, and you'll be in close fellowship, relationship with Him once again. And then I want to just ask you, can we just pray together that we would receive the blessing of God for our lives, and then we would be a good conduit of His grace to pass that blessing on to others, child or any age, that we could pass that blessing on to. So this morning, can we stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and just please think about this a moment. Just maybe whatever your family situation is, however you can receive this or relate it, would you just ask God to give you clarity and direction in that, just for His will to be done? And then I want to pray for us all today, because we all have an opportunity, I really believe this, to bless someone with our words and at times even our maybe a holy hug or just a greeting, a handshake, whatever the case may be. But just take a moment, please, and think about how you can receive and apply this scripture to your life. And then we want to just speak the blessing. I want, you know, the Bible says, this is how I want you to bless my people, God told Moses. And He gave us a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. And I want to, in fact, I'm going to pray that over you right now. We're going to sing that song in just a moment. But I want to ask you to receive first, because we can't give what we don't have. I want to ask you to receive the blessing, and then I want to ask you to pass that blessing on. So let me pray for you right now. I want to pray even for some of us maybe who've had some past hurts in just our family relationships, painful memories. Lord, I pray for Your grace to go into those areas right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that You would bring healing. If there is a need for repentance, I pray that You would bring repentance and confession. But I also pray that there would be a receiving of Your grace, a receiving of Your words of blessing, a receiving of Your love, even of Your conviction to draw us back to Your heart to be in close fellowship with You. And then may You use us to be a channel of the blessing and Your grace to those around us. Now may the Lord bless you and guard and protect you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, in the name of Jesus, before you open your eyes.